listening to the Miracle Word Podcast. We believe that the Word of God gives you the power to experience never-ending increase in every area. If you're ready for revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here's your host, evangelist, author, and founder of Miracle Word University, Ted Shuttlesworth Jr.
Hey, welcome back again this week. So glad you're joining me. As you know, we're in this series on the purpose and the power of prayer. And tonight we're going to begin a new section in the series where I'm going to be talking about the 11 benefits of prayer. I'm sure there are many more than 11, but I'm going to cover 11 of those with you. And just like with the types of prayer, a lot of times people don't know or understand that there are many benefits actually taking place when you pray, when we pray as believers. And it's important because I did the same thing when I wrote the book on fasting, Complete Guide to Biblical Fasting. One of the reasons that I never used to spend time fasting as much as I should have when I was young is because I didn't understand the why behind fasting. I didn't understand the purpose or the power of it. And when you just look at it as a spiritual discipline and not as something that God has given you as a supernatural transaction that has benefits attached to it, then there's not as much of an urgency to fast and there's not as much of an urgency to pray. And so I really am hoping and I believe that as we look over these 11 supernatural benefits of prayer, it will put that why in your spirit as to what's going to take place when you pray, what's going to happen, what's released, what benefits do you gain when you pray. And so, as I said, there's probably many, many more than these, but I'm going to specifically, with Scripture, cover 11 different supernatural benefits of prayer. Now, as I'm looking over this list, obviously these are things that God has afforded to believers that you can't get, you know, outside of this connection through prayer. That's why they're supernatural. God created these. It's not like you can say, well, I only want three of them. I'll go get the rest from, you know, my friends or, you know, what. It's not something that's available naturally. These are supernatural benefits as you connect to God, who is a supernatural God, who's able to do much more than we can even imagine. When we pray, these things are released and activated in our own lives. And so, as I said, before this portion of the series is over, I'm going to cover 11 of these supernatural benefits, and I'm going to give you 8 of them tonight. And then next week, not only will we finish this, but I'm going to give you one more section attached to next week's as well. So let's jump into this today. 11 supernatural benefits of prayer. Number one, the Bible teaches us that power is made available when we pray. Look with me at James chapter 5. I want you to see this. And the reason I want to touch on this is because, you know, the Bible tells us that every believer has been given authority over the devil. We have power. We have supernatural power through the Holy Spirit. But have you ever noticed that some believers are, they look like they're manifesting that power nonstop. They're living on cloud nine. It seems like they go from victory to victory, from strength to strength, where it seems as though other believers are going from struggle to struggle, issue to issue, problem to problem. Well, that's obviously not God's desire. So why then are we not seeing that same power manifested in every believer? If we all have the Holy Spirit, if we're all connected to God's power, why are we not seeing that power manifested? Well, here's a clue. James chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading. Actually, I'm just going to read you verse number 16. James 5, 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Look at this. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So your prayers carry power. Your prayers release power. That's a very interesting thought. Your prayers release power. If you're taking notes, you need to write that down. My prayers release power. So one of the things that we need to understand is, yes, the power of God dwells in you. No question. The Bible says not only the Holy Spirit dwells in you, but remember how he is described, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's resurrection power that's on the inside of you. And so just because there's resurrection power inside of you doesn't mean you're releasing it. And according to Jesus, and we just saw here from James that power is released when you pray, but according to Jesus, if you jump back with me to Mark chapter 9, prayer is the element that allows you to release the power of God in the earth. Prayer is the element that allows you to release the power of God in the earth. I often say this. There was a Methodist minister by the name of E.M. Bounds. He wrote 12 books in his lifetime, 9 of them on the subject of prayer. And he's the one that originated the quote, "Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power." He understood this concept. But Jesus is the one who taught this concept in Mark chapter 9. If you remember the story, there were parents that brought their son to Jesus because he had a demon spirit. First, they brought him to the disciples and they couldn't even help. So they brought him to Jesus. Jesus rebuked the disciples and then said, "Bring the boy to me." And when he did, he cast the demon out of that boy without any problem at all. The disciples were confused by this because they'd cast other demons out. And literally, they've been commissioned to do the same work Jesus had done. So they're like, "What's the deal? Why could we not cast this demon out?" And they asked Jesus that question in Mark chapter 9. They said, "Why could we not cast this demon out?" And he said, verse 29, "And he said to them, 'This kind of demon cannot be driven out by anything but prayer.'" Look at that. "By anything but prayer." So Jesus, I always found this interesting. Jesus does not point to the fact that he's the Messiah as to why he could perform the miracle and they couldn't. He pointed to his prayer life. He said, "This kind of demon requires prayer. And if you've not been praying," now look at the life of the disciples. You can see clearly they were having an issue with their faithfulness. Multiple times Jesus is praying, they're falling asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're not watching and praying. And Jesus rebukes them, wakes them up, and says, "You've got to pray, pray." And Jesus knew it, and he was trying to impart it to them. If you'll be a person of prayer, then it allows you to release the power of God that's on the inside of you. It allows you to cast out devils. It allows you to heal the sick. It allows you to see supernatural things manifested in and through your life. That's what happened with Christ. That's what later happened with the disciples, the early church. It's through the power of prayer. So supernatural benefit number one is that when you pray, supernatural power is released to do the things God's called you to do. Number two, the second benefit of prayer is that it releases healing virtue. Healing virtue is released. In James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, the question is asked, "Are there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church, who will anoint them with oil and lay their hands upon them." Now watch this. "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up." So one of the things promised to the church in the book of James is that it's a benefit that releases healing for sickness, for disease issues, that when we pray, healing virtue is released. And it's not just when a preacher prays. The Bible says these signs will actually follow them that believe. And so we model the ministry that Jesus had. He laid his hands on sick people. The Bible says they received their healing. When we pray, you can actually release healing virtue through your prayers. And as I told you, I've done this many times, preached on this many times, taught on it many times. There was a time in my life where I wasn't really seeing any of these healings take place like this. But I began to fast and pray. 21 days. At the end of that first revival that took place, there was a young boy and his mother. This mother had never been to church before, and the boy was only 6 years old, had been blind in one eye for 5 years, and I'd been fasting and praying. Well, I said, God, we want to see supernatural miracles. I prayed for him. He was the first person I prayed for that night. And when I prayed for Timothy in Sussex, New Brunswick, the one eye on this side, he had his glasses on, but you could see he had like a patch underneath the glasses. That boy that could not see for 5 years, his eye opened. I had him take those glasses off before I even prayed. I laid hands on those eyes. I felt the compassion of the Holy Spirit. And when I took my hands off, he shouted, I can see you. His mom crumpled to the floor. She began to cry and praise God. And let me tell you something. I learned a lesson. Because the Lord spoke to me while I was praying. I said, Lord, we want to see more signs, more wonders, more healings, more miracles. And you know what God's answer was in my spirit? You've gone as far as you can go at your current level of prayer. So I started praying more. And we've begun to see miracles just break loose in these meetings. The meeting we just came from, amazing. We saw deaf person after deaf person, crippled people, people that had lost their sense of smell, sense of taste, all kinds of things God's doing. Why? Because he's a healer. But in order for us to release his power in our generation of healing, we got to be people of prayer. And we can release healing virtue as we pray. Number three, the third supernatural benefit of prayer is deliverance, supernatural deliverance. Now, let me say this about healing and deliverance. You may not even be praying for somebody else. Maybe you're praying for yourself. Did you know you can use the power of prayer on yourself? You don't have to wait till someone prays for you. You can lay hands on your own body and command sickness to go, a disease to go. You can believe for your own deliverance and God will honor your faith. And the power of prayer will bring it to pass. Acts chapter 16, you know the story. Paul and Silas are in the inner dungeon. And at midnight, what did they do? They begin to pray and sing praises unto God. Acts chapter 12, Peter's in prison. But what did the church do? Gathered in a house and began to pray. And God heard their prayers. When God heard their prayers, he sent an angel. When God heard Paul and Silas's prayers and their praise, he showed up and shook that jail, and every door came open and every chain fell off. Hallelujah. Why? Because God heard their prayers. God heard their prayers. You know, there's a story. There's a book written by a man named John Garlock. He was a missionary overseas. And the very interesting book, it's entitled Before We Kill and Eat You. Before We Kill and Eat You. It's a story about how he and his team were ministering in another nation where there were cannibal tribes, and they were actually captured by one of those cannibal tribes. They had them bound and restrained. I think they were obviously planning to eat them, and there was nothing else they could do. He said, let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. And they started praying. And as they were praying, the miracle was that the Lord allowed those cannibal tribes to hear what they were praying in tongues in their native language. And those cannibals, at the end of the story, released them and received the gospel. They didn't even know how to speak their language. It was by the power of the Spirit. And I've heard so many testimonies, one after another, of people that were supernaturally delivered because of the power of prayer. I remember reading Dr. Lester Sumrall's life story. And he's telling the story of how he and Howard Carter were traveling around the world preaching the gospel decades and decades ago. Before there were cell phones and email and all that, you had to travel by cruise ship, you know, cargo ship. And so he's way out in the middle of an undeveloped nation. And all of a sudden, as they're traveling, this heavy, heavy sickness hit his body and the others. And he's sitting there laid up for a few days. And all of a sudden, the healing power of God hit him, and he was made well. He was delivered from that issue. Years later, he was back in the United States meeting with a family that he knew and having dinner at their home. And the wife had a question. She said, Dr. Sumrall, I was going through my prayer journal She said, what was going on in your ministry? And she named the date. She said, what was going on in your ministry in this date? We felt a heavy urge to pray for you. And so we prayed and prayed. He matched it up with his journal. It was the exact time that his body had been attacked overseas, out in the middle of nowhere in an undeveloped country, thought he was going to die, laid up, and all of a sudden, healing virtue came into his body. Well, as I've told you before, that's what type of prayer is that? Intercession, praying for somebody else. But notice what the benefit was. Divine deliverance from death. Divine deliverance from destruction. Same with all these stories. That as we begin to pray, it brings the power of deliverance. Hallelujah. It brings the power of deliverance and puts it at your disposal. I love that. Our God is a delivering God. The Bible tells us, actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. So there can't be bondage. There can't be something that holds you captive. You're delivered. Your freedom comes when the presence of God comes. And one of the ways that we activate or seek his presence is through prayer. And as we do, one of the supernatural benefits is supernatural deliverance from every attack of the devil. Every attack of the enemy has to come to an end. Amen. Number four, the fourth supernatural benefit of prayer is divine direction. I love this. Divine direction. That when you pray, the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, will tell you which way to go. He'll tell you what steps to take. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8 that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So one of the things we need to realize is we have access to the Holy Spirit who leads us and he guides us. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, you'll find the story of David as he'd come back to Ziklag. Raiders had come and raided that area, taken all of his and his men's wives, their children, livestock, taken their things. And David said, you know what? I could just pursue them. I'm a man of war, but let me inquire of the Lord. You know what he was saying, don't you? I don't want to even go unless the Lord leads me, unless he's with me, unless he'll be with me. I'm not going. So what did he do? He prayed until he got divine direction from the Lord. Now, I will say, this is one of those areas where I feel like more Christians need to press in for their lives and for their families. Too many people are flippant with their lives, flippant with their families and their future. When God has a plan for your life, he has a perfect plan for your life. However, people just go on about their business as though God doesn't have anything to say about it when he's planned the greatest thing for you you've ever seen. And so the key being, pray. And when you pray, it's never a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is not a monologue, one-sided. Prayer is a dialogue. It is you speaking to God, but more importantly, it's God speaking to you. That's the most important part of prayer. You know, I've told the story many times. I was called by God into ministry. I didn't just become a preacher because I thought it was a good idea. I was 5 years old when I was called into the ministry by the voice of the Lord. When I was headed to one Bible school, the Lord by his Spirit directed me to another. I was living in one place. The Lord by his Spirit directed me to live in another place. I was just an evangelist. But then the Lord by his Spirit directed me to also launch a church. And now I'm a pastor and an evangelist. Every step of my life has been ordered by the Lord. By what? Divine direction. How does it come? Through fasting and prayer. In fact, all those things that I just mentioned to you, and there's many more I could mention, all of them came through times of prayer. Let me say that to you. All of them came through times of prayer. That first choice, when I was 5 years old, my father holding a revival in the northeastern part of this nation, on the border of Canada, and I felt in my spirit to go to the altar and pray at 5 years old. I remember the night before that everyone had gone down to the altar and prayed, and I turned to my mom in the pew. I said, are we going down to pray again? And she said, well, we're not right now, but if you feel to, you go ahead. And I got out of my seat and went down and began to pray. And that old preacher called me out, sat me on his lap. He said, folks, you don't even realize what the Lord's doing right now, but he's calling this young man to preach the gospel. And at 5 years old, I knew what I was supposed to do. At 5 years old, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues. And the Lord has led me throughout my life in times of prayer. He changed what I thought was going to be a great idea. And even where I, as I said a moment ago, attended university, it was different. Because though all my family had gone to the same school, the Lord gave me an instruction very specifically in times of prayer. I obeyed it. God blessed me for it. I went on further and stepped out into evangelism, stepped out to help my uncle as he launched his church. Every step I've taken, times of prayer, I remember it was February of 2003, and I was praying about, I had just graduated Bible school in May of 2002, and now it's February 2003, and I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm fasting and praying and asking the Lord, what is the next step for this ministry? What are the next step that you have for me? And that's when he clearly spoke to me. Leave West Virginia, move to Virginia Beach, help your uncle as he's launching the church there in Virginia Beach. It was the Lord, and so I did it. I can remember when it was time to leave being on staff and to start traveling and evangelizing, and the Lord spoke to me when it was time, and I obeyed. And I remember when he spoke again, that it was time to move from Virginia Beach to Florida. What I'm saying is every step of the way in life, you can be led by the Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural benefit of prayer, is divine direction, divine direction. Every one of us need it, because remember, his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. Every one of us need divine direction. Number five, the fifth benefit of prayer, as we're discussing these 11 supernatural benefits of prayer, number five is you gain access to the secrets of God. Let me say that again. You gain access to the secrets or the secret things of the Lord. In fact, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. So in order to gain access to the secret things that belong to the Lord, you have to be in communion with the Lord. You have to be talking to the Lord. I go back to the Old Testament because in Jeremiah, and of course Jeremiah was a prophet, but Jeremiah was not filled with the Holy Spirit, but he was a prophet. But now every one of us in the body of Christ have access to the Holy Spirit on a regular, consistent basis. We can pray. And as I said moments ago, the leading of the Holy Spirit is something afforded to every believer. Look with me, Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3. Now this is something the Lord said to Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you've not known. So look at that. The Lord has the ability to show us hidden things that we've not known. Well, of course he does. Not only does he have the ability to show Jeremiah that, who's a prophet, the Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse number 13. John 16, 13, listen to this. When the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the truth. For he'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you what? The things that are to come. Nobody knows the things that are to come except the Lord. He's the only one that knows the things that are to come. So if the Holy Spirit can declare to us the things that are to come, he can give us secrets about the future or show us hidden things about the future. And it's very interesting. I could tell you so many stories of people that the Lord spoke to them about what was coming up in the future. What was coming up in the future? You know, I stood to prophesy, and I'm not a prophet, but I was preaching at my uncle's church in West Virginia in November of 2019, about Thanksgiving time, end of November 2019. And I was preaching, but I started to prophesy. And as I prophesied, I began to talk about 2020. Now, none of us knew what was coming in 2020, but I began to prophesy, and we got it on video, that there was coming a shaking in 2020. God was drawing a line in the sand to see who was on his side and who was not on his side. And then the Lord said through that prophecy, I will raise up those that are of me, those that are truly seeking me, seeking my spirit, seeking my power, I'll raise them up. But he said, then there's others that have built what seems to be very successful work, and they've built it on the flesh and on the soul, and it is not of me, though others think it's me. Those things will come crashing down in 2020. Now listen, I didn't know anything that was going to come to pass, but here we go into 2020 and the pandemic begins, and then here we go. Lockdowns start, churches are shut down, and we began to see that shakeup. We saw things that were supposedly so massive, so successful, that came to an end. Things that were the biggest things in Christianity came to an end. And we saw people, who's on the Lord's side? There were churches that fought to stay open through 2020. They fought to worship the Lord in their sanctuaries, gathered as believers during the lockdown. And they kept on fighting for it. Why? Because they're on the Lord's side to declare, I refuse to stay apart. I refuse to stay home. We're going to continue to do what the Bible says and gather. Well, I didn't know any of that stuff was going to happen, but I took about 3, 4, 5 minutes and began to prophesy what the Lord showed me, and it began to come to pass. My own pastor, on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2019, we're getting ready to go into 2020, he's prophesying about the new year. You know what he said? He was talking about how it was going to be a year of blessing, and then he said, you know, and don't be dismayed and don't be shaken up when you get to March and all hell breaks loose. And we're all sitting there looking at each other thinking, like, what in the world does he mean by that? We get to March and all hell breaks loose. Well, he's prophesying because we didn't know what he was talking about. But then we got to March of 2020 and all hell broke loose. In fact, I was in a revival in Detroit, Michigan, when the pandemic and the lockdowns began. And they announced it on the news. And the pastor and I said, well, let's just keep having services. People got touched, all this different stuff. And nobody knew it was going to happen. But notice that he began to speak it out of his spirit. When you get to March and all hell breaks loose. Well, he didn't know it was December 31st. None of that stuff had surfaced. None of that stuff was known, but the Spirit of God knew, because he can show you secrets about the future. He can always show you secrets about the future. That is actually the fifth benefit we're covering in these 11 benefits of prayer. Number six, you gain supernatural refreshing. That's one of the benefits of prayer. When you take time to pray, and specifically pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, it gives you access to supernatural refreshing. And we need it. Every one of us needs it. There's times the enemy tries to make you feel tired, worn out, like you can't do and can't accomplish. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost and access supernatural strength and refreshing. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. I want you to see this with me now. He's talking about people that speak in tongues. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. One translation says edifies himself. One says encourages himself. One who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Well, why is that? Because nobody knows what you're saying when you're praying in the Spirit, but your spirit knows what's going on. That's why you can personally be encouraged, even though other people can't. They don't understand it. Well, you don't either. You don't either. Paul said, when my spirit prays, my mind is unfruitful. Yeah, you don't understand what you're saying. But that doesn't stop it from releasing that refreshing into your spirit, into your body. The Holy Spirit works as you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and releases that refreshing. And we need it. In fact, Jude 20 The Bible says we're building ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when we pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, we're not just encouraging ourselves, but we're building up our most holy faith. I often explain it like this. You wouldn't go and do some kind of an athletic event of any kind, from working out all the way to playing a sport, without first warming up. You warm those muscles up so that you don't hurt yourself, so you don't pull something. And in the same way, when you pray in the Spirit, it's like you're warming your faith up, getting it ready for action. You're warming your faith up, getting it ready for action. You're building up. It doesn't give you more faith. It builds up the faith you currently have. So when you pray in tongues, one of the benefits here, you encourage yourself in the Lord and you are building up your most holy faith. You're building up your most holy faith. All right. So understand that it's important. Why? Because there are plenty of times the enemy will fight back against you, try to hinder you, try to keep you from doing what you're called to do. Notice in the book of Acts, when they got filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, and then in chapter 3, they started getting persecuted. That starts to try to beat you back and push you back from doing what you're called to do. So what did they do? They gathered together. Chapter 4, they began to pray. And then all of a sudden, just like on the day of Pentecost, they were all, once again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. They needed divine encouragement. They needed supernatural encouragement. They needed their faith to be built up. So what did they do? They got together and they prayed. That's one of the ways that you receive supernatural refreshing. Number 7, the 7th benefit of prayer is access to God's forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, a very famous verse of scripture, and I'll read it to you here. 1 John 1, 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So one of the things that we can access from prayer is supernatural forgiveness. You know, there are people that literally will teach and preach that it's impossible for a Christian to sin. That's not true. That's obviously not true. Paul wrote to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 5, and he said, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So it's possible. And then he lists what the lusts of the flesh are. And he said, and he's not talking to sinners, he's talking to Christians. And he said, basically what he's saying is if you don't walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Anger, drunkenness, jealousy, strife. He lists all these different things. They're works of the flesh. They're sinful. They're sinful. And so like drunkenness, he lists sexual immorality, orgies, all these different things. These things, the Bible says, are works of the flesh. But Paul said you can stay free by walking in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So he's telling Christians, yeah, it's possible for you to sin, but if you'll walk in the Spirit, you will not sin. But I bring that up to say this, it is possible for Christians to miss the mark. It is possible for Christians to commit a sin. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 that every day he would put his body under subjection, make it do what it should, so that he wouldn't become disqualified at the end of his life. So what he's trying to teach us is it's possible for Christians to miss the mark. Well, what do you do when you miss the mark? You ask the Lord to forgive you and you move forward. You ask the Lord, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, when you make a mistake, when you commit a sin, you don't lose your whole salvation and have to go to the altar next Sunday and get saved all over again. I know there's people that do that. That's not what you have to do. You make one mistake, you didn't lose your salvation, but you may be out of fellowship. It's just like in the same way, I might have a fight with my wife, but it doesn't mean we're not married anymore. It just means we're out of fellowship, but we're not out of relationship. We're out of fellowship. So what do I got to do? If I fought, if I said things I shouldn't have said, if I was too harsh, I have to apologize. Why? Because I'm putting that relationship, which never was broken, back in order by restoring the fellowship. I hope that helps you. And that's what happens with a believer. Is there maybe things you did, wrong moves, bad mistakes, whatever? Confess your sins. Ask God to forgive you. He's faithful and just. This is part of prayer. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter what it is, he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's number 7, supernatural forgiveness of sin. Number 8, I love this, divine protection belongs to you as a believer. Divine protection, hallelujah, belongs to you and your family as a believer. In 2 Kings chapter 19, one of these powerful stories I love from the Old Testament, there was an evil king who made up his mind, I'm going to destroy Judah. So he sent his army, and he sent 185,000 soldiers to surround the city of Judah. And then he began to threaten the king, Hezekiah. And he sent a letter into the city, and he wasn't just threatening Hezekiah, he was mocking the Most High God. What a mistake. Mocking God. And so Hezekiah brought that letter into the temple, lifted it up before the Lord and said, Lord, hear their threat. And he began to say all the things that Hezekiah said, or that the evil king had said. And then he began to praise God as he prayed. And the Lord heard his prayers. Now, he didn't have the ability to win that battle in the natural realm. 185,000 soldiers surrounded Judah. They couldn't do it. They were ready to be destroyed. But all of a sudden, the power of God worked on his behalf. For what? Divine protection. Divine protection. And an angel descended from heaven in the night and destroyed 185,000 soldiers. They're dead around the walls, and fought their battle for them. Why? Because he prayed. Because Hezekiah prayed and praised God. Hallelujah. You have access to divine protection as you pray. When I went to Bible school, there was a young lady that attended Rhema. And after she was done with classes, she'd go work. And her job would send her to different places around the country. And she'd fly on small planes, little private planes everywhere. And she wrote, and they published this in the Word of Faith magazine, that once she was coming back from a trip and about to land in the Tulsa airport, and there was such a heavy crosswind, it was going to be rough. And then the pilot came on and said, I can't get the landing gear to come down in this plane. She said, some people started freaking out. Others were trying to call their loved ones, and others were cursing. She said, I got mad. And she stood up in that plane. They're trying to get her to sit down. She said, where's that landing gear located? And they said, well, if I'm not mistaken, right under where you're standing. She said, you hear that, devil? You're under my feet. And she said, I command this landing gear to come down. And she stomped her foot. The plane shook, and the landing gear opened up, and out it came. The pilot had told her, and the rest of the passengers, when we land this thing with no landing gear, we're going to bounce. The crosswinds are going to flip us onto our head, and the emergency vehicles are already waiting for us to help us. No need. There was no need for the emergency vehicles because God worked a miracle. Protection, divine protection. She later testified, smoothest landing I've ever been a part of in my life. God did it. God did it. And I'm telling you that one of the mighty benefits of prayer is supernatural protection. Amen. So when I come back next week, what we're going to do, I'm going to finish this 11. I'll give you the final 9, 10, and 11 of these supernatural benefits of prayer. But then I want to show you something very important. Did you know God has an order in prayer? God has an order in prayer. And next week, after we finish those 3 points of the 11 benefits of prayer, I want to finish that by teaching you the biblical order of prayer. It's very powerful because if God sets up a system, he doesn't do it randomly or for no reason. He has a purpose behind his plans. He's not a random God. He's a purposeful God. And I know it's going to help you. It'll help you as you step into your prayer time to see, what does God expect from me as I come into his presence when I'm praying and seeking his face?
Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of.